So today I'm going to talk about EMU and rapid prototyping of networking services. This is joint work of the University of Cambridge, Imperial College London, Queen Mary London, and USI Lugano as part of the EPSRC NAS project. And allow me to begin with hardware acceleration. FPGA devices, which are field programmable devices, are increasingly used in the cloud. Many of you have probably heard about Microsoft Catapult or Amazon's F1, and they're increasingly deployed, and for a good reason. So let's call those the four P's: programmability, performance, predictability, and power efficiency. When you want to run an application on FPGA, you can program any application that you want. You can then get better performance than running the same application on a host. The performance is predictable. You know exactly what you get and when you'll get it, and the power efficiency is much better than running on CPU. So using FPGA is great, but maybe not, because programming FPGA is hard. For every hardware engineer you have in the US, there are 10 software engineers. And the number of FPGA developers is even smaller. So it's really hard to get FPGA developers. And that's not a new problem. That led to the development of high-level synthesis, or HLS, already a long time ago. And the idea was to use general-purpose languages to program FPGAs, and that was mostly focused on scientific applications. So, for example, running parallel arithmetic computations. And one such as a HLS compiler is called Kiwi. And Kiwi is interesting because it's an open source compiler. It was designed for scientific applications and developed by Satnam Singh and David Greaves, which published it in 2008. And the idea of Kiwi is to transform code written in .NET languages such as C# or F# to RTL, to the hardware description language. And specifically, Kiwi takes the code from an intermediate language to Verilog. So this paper is all about accelerating network services. So you can basically write your code in .NET, compile it to RTL using Kiwi, run it on the FPGA, and that's it. Wrong. So first of all, Kiwi is a compiler. It's not a linker. It doesn't have any libraries. Second, we are talking about network services. And the way that network services work is that you get requests as packets. And those have a very strong dependence on time. So when you get a request, the information is received within the FPGA over multiple clock cycles. And you send the replies also over multiple clock cycles. So on the first clock cycle, you might get the first header of a packet. On the second clock cycle, you'll get part of the second header, and the rest of the header will arrive on the third clock cycle. And because network services are at the core of cloud computing, they need to be performant. That means that they are sensitive to throughput and they are sensitive to latency. When we are talking about compilers that were designed for scientific application, they lack the sense of time. That means that if you are writing a code for a network service and you try to compile it using a compiler that was designed for a scientific application, it will take your code and then it will turn it into a single switch with hundreds to thousands of cases, and the result will be that you might get the working code, but the performance will be extremely low, which is why we present EMU. And the EMU is the network library for Kiwi. Now remember, our goal is to prototype network services. And for that, we provide a framework with the following: a library of functions, ability to compile to multiple targets, a runtime environment, automatic implementation on FPGA, and we prototype it on NetFPGA, and advanced debug capabilities. And I'll touch on each of those in the following slides. But first, I'd like to explain the difference between Kiwi and Emu. So Kiwi, as a flightless bird, is quite small and rather slow, whereas emus are big and fast and stupid. So what we do is we combine them. And Kiwi is the engine that runs within Emu. Okay? So Kiwi provides the compiler that is part of the entire Emu framework. And to the technicalities. So the Emu workflow allows you to compile programs written in .NET to multiple targets. And by that, I mean that you compile a program to run on x86. You can simulate it in a software environment. We use Mininet and to multiple FPGA targets. That means that when you develop your program, you can debug it in a software environment like any other program and only then deploy it on the hardware. That means that the development process is much faster than if you were writing your code directly for the FPGA and debugging it only in the hardware environment. And to describe the process step by step, you start by writing your code in .NET. We use C#, and then you compile it using a .NET compiler, such as Mono, to an intermediate language. From there, you can either run your code on x86, and for that, we provide a runtime environment, or using Kiwi, you can compile it to Verilog. From there, the FPGA development tool can take it the way to the bit file, the file that you are actually running on the FPGA, and for that we are using the NetFPGA development toolchain. Now, as a developer, this entire process is transparent to you. It means that you write your code in C#, you type make, an hour later, you get the program that runs on the FPGA. So you are not aware of the entire process. You just type make. And the code is compiled to an FPGA target. It can target different FPGA devices. For that, we define templates. And the template maps the code to a specific FPGA. Once you write your code in C#, you can compile it to different FPGAs by using different templates. And in this case, what you see in the figure is that all the interfaces and all the parts that are not part of the program are already part of the template, and the Emu program is what shows as the main logical core. One of the features provided by Emu is the support for integration with hardware IP cores. So if you want to use a FIFO, you don't need to write the FIFO in C#. You can take cores blocks that were already optimized to run on the hardware and call them from within the framework, so you don't need to code them. In addition, you can instantiate multiple cores of Emu within the same design, which is kind of the same idea as creating a multi-core CPU. So we can create multi-core Emus. These are code snippets from Emu. I have no intention to go over it. However, we provide with Emu a library of functions, such as send frame, receive frame, parse Ethernet header, parse IPv4 header, and the code that you see on the left is part of a code that is used to write a switch application, Ethernet switch application, and we actually introduce only one new command to Kiwi, and we call it pause. and deposits the command that introduces the notion of time to the scientific application compiler, because it tells it, look, here a clock cycle ends, you should now move to the next clock cycle. Agileless tools haven't caught a lot of attraction over time in the networking field, amongst others, because of efficiency. So if a Agileless native program requires a lot of FPGA resources, or it adds a lot of buffering, which creates a lot of latency, then people don't want to use it. What you see in this slide is a comparison of an Ethernet switch program that is written A in native HDL in Verilog, that's the NetFPGA reference switch design. B, a switch design that was written in P4 and compiled to run on NetFPGA using the P4 FPGA compiler from Cornell. And C, the same program written and compiled using EMU. Now, all of these applications are creating the same program, the reference switch. All of them are running on the same target, NetFPGA SUMI. So what you see here is a comparison of apples to apples. And the resource efficiency of EMU is very high. There's very little overhead compared with the native Verilog code. And the performance in terms of throughput is identical to Verilog native design. That's 40 gigabit Ethernet switch. And latency is exceptionally low. So we are talking about 6 clock cycles versus 8 clock cycles for Verilog versus EMU, and 10 times more than that for the code that was written in P4. We take EMU and implement a few use cases, starting with networking devices, such as the switch that I have just described. We also implement network services, such as NAT, DNS server, as well as applications that are sensitive to performance, specifically key value store, Memcached. You can also implement in EMU applications that are not necessarily networking related or header processing related, such as LRU or hashing functions. These are all applications that you can't implement using P4. So EMU can be used also to create P4 externs. Since our goal is to accelerate services, then let's look on what does it mean when you run the same service on a host and on EMU. And here I'm talking about a host that isn't from 10 years ago. This is Xeon E5 V4 running at 3 gig. In comparison, EMU is running on NetFPGA at 200 megahertz. You can see that in terms of throughput, the same application running on EMU get a performance that is twice to five times better than the application running on the host. And more interesting, if you look on the latency performance, you can see that the improvement is an order of magnitude to four orders of magnitude better. And note that this is a log scale. So for every request that you send to EMU, you get a reply within about a microsecond, whereas if you are sending the same request to a host, you'll get a reply within 10 microseconds to a few milliseconds. And it's not just the latency as an absolute number. It's also the difference between the minimum, the median, and the maximum. So for EMU-based designs, the difference between the minimum and the maximum, not the median and the 99th percentile, minimum and maximum, it's 100 nanoseconds. That's it. On a host, the difference between the median and the 99th percentile can be in the order of milliseconds. So the predictability of running a service on the hardware is much, much higher. IMU allows you to select which type of performance you'd like to optimize for. And there is no magic here. You can't escape good planning. So if you'd like to design for high performance, you need to start with a high-level architecture that thinks about it. It doesn't mean that you can't just write a C-sharp-based code and run it, but the performance won't be that good. You want to optimize for throughput, use multiple core instantiations. You want to optimize for latency, use threads. You want to optimize for scalability. You can use, for example, external memories such as SRAM and DRAM. So we have a program. It was written in C#. You typed make, it runs on the hardware, you get great performance. But then you deploy it in the field and you run into problems because there are always bugs. For that, we introduce directed packets as a meaningful in-field debug. And the idea is simple. We provide extension points within the code that allows us to observe the program from that point and to influence the program state. For example, we can support commands such as print, trace, count, and watch. And we do it by implementing a controller within the FPGA and a director, which is a host. So it's running as a software program which can access the controller. So instead of having just a program running on the FPGA, we now add in parallel to that a controller. When a packet comes in, if it's a directed packet, it will be sent to the controller, and if it is a standard packet, it will be sent to the program. The directed packet will be observed by the controller. It will inspect the state of the program and send information as required back to the director. The nice aspect here is that there's almost no cost. So the overhead in terms of resources is negligible. We are talking about less than 1%. And there's no effect on throughput and latency at all. In summary, IMU enables rapid prototyping of networking services. That means that you write your code in .NET and you can compile it to multiple targets. It allows to accelerate the development and the debug process of hardware-accelerated services using resources efficiently. You get high throughput and low latency, and best of all, it's open source. So you can access it, you can download it, use it, push bug fixes, and join the community. Thank you. Yeah.
Bob Lance, Mininet Project. I really like this a lot. You touched on
I don't hear you.
My name is Bob Lance. I work on Mininet. You touched on a bunch of really interesting, I like this a lot, you touched on a bunch of really interesting things like the impact of bringing compilers and networking, I think is huge, need to make FPGAs programmable by normal software people, need for quality libraries, blocks, reusable components, and that also emulators are much more relevant in the SDN world, both at the control plane and also at the programmable data plane. And so we have lots of kind of FPGA targeted workflows that people have worked on, P4 to FPGA, click to these all target net FPGA, P4 to NetFPGA, Click to NetFPGA, EMU to NetFPGA. I'm sure other people have done OpenVSwitch, NetFPGA, eBPF.
Yeah.
And my question for you is, like, why is P4 so terrible? Like, you know, it's kind of designed to do this. Is it intrinsically broken, or is the implementation just bad?
No, actually, that's a great question, because I have a slide for that. So the main reason is that if you look on different compilers that we currently have, for example, from P4, to FPGA, either P4 FPGA or SDNet, then their optimization point is throughput. It's not latency. Now, I'm not talking here about other compilers such as the Tofino compiler, because I know they're supposed to provide better performance. I think that they do. I just don't know to comment about it, but it's a matter of the compiler. So I can tell you, for example, for these P4 compilers that we mentioned here, that their target was throughput and not latency, And I know that for SDNet, there are efforts to improve that. So it's a matter of the compiler.
So basically, just optimize for different points, and they just need to optimize, do a better job. You think it's just an optimization issue that they didn't optimize latency well enough? I mean, I think it's
I'm
it's
not a
clear.
Compiler person, so I don't know how they're going to do it, but...
Probably fewer stages, but...
but we had to work hard to make it work well for latency as well. Thank you.
So, actually, can I ask one question?
Yeah, sure.
I was reading the paper, I was thinking about packets of death. You know, like, when you do network protocols, a lot of times people will come up with these packets of death. They send a malformed packet, and it causes a root exploit on a network. I was wondering, as you put these services on FPGAs, what do packets of death look like? Are they less dangerous? Are they more likely? Or are they? I don't know. I was wondering, in your experience, did you run into this?
I didn't try any packet of death on that. Uh-huh. But one of the reasons that we got directed packets was because we tried to run it for a long time and under different scenarios, and we have seen that things got stuck, and that was the mean for us to debug it. Uh-huh. Okay. So you're saying that one of the applications stopped responding for some reason, and the directed packets were the mean to debug that, because you could have observed what was the state in the state machine where it got stuck, and or what was the last information that was received on the device before it decided to die.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.